Okay, we're going to be talking today about understanding righteousness and justice, and this is the session that I look the most forward to teaching because it is my very, very favorite topic. I think about it every single day, and I teach it literally to 100% of my counselees. So I'm very excited. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to talk about you and nothing but you for the next hour. And in the middle of the afternoon when our tushes are tired of sitting and we might be tired, this will be a very invigorating conversation. So please, God, help us to just enjoy it. Help us to enjoy getting to talk about you and thinking about our relationship with a person who is perfectly righteous and perfectly just and loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be exploring righteousness, and like I said, this is like my very ultimate favorite topic, and it hasn't always been my very favorite topic because it was one of those churchy words that I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, you say it, you say the word, and you don't really actually know what it means. And so I started studying the word, and I was like enraptured with it the more I studied it and the more I understood what it meant. And then the same thing with justice. Like, especially right now, social justice is so huge, and people say the word justice over and over, but it means something very specific. And every time I hear someone talk about social justice stuff, I'm like, oh, justice is coming, and it's going to be social. And I want a chance to tell you about it. Okay, so we're going to start by doing a pretend input question, because I made everyone talk instead. What do righteousness and justice mean? So before I tell you the definitions of them, think for yourself. If you had to define righteousness, and this is my favorite way to do it, if you had to define righteousness to a 10-year-old, how would you define it? My favorite way to learn something is to go get books from the children's section in the library because they break down big, big concepts into very understandable words. So let's talk about the background of righteousness and justice. God's purpose for humans was that they would know and love him and consequently represent him well in his created world. And this topic begins in the garden at creation, and it brings to mind the creation mandate, which if you remember is from Genesis 1, 26 through 28, which teaches us that before he even created any human, God declared what his purpose for them would be, which is super exciting. He said he was creating humans so that he could have objects to pour his love out on. And in response to that love, the humans would love him back by living within his created world according to his purposes and plans. So the key point in the creation mandate was that humans would represent the creator's values in whatever context he chose them. It's like being the ambassador to France. If I was the ambassador to France, I don't go to France and tell people in France what I think. I go to people in France and tell them what my president thinks, because that's what an ambassador does. They don't have an opinion of their own. They represent the opinion of the country that they've been sent from. That's why they're an emissary. So God wanted his humans to be trained by him. Humans were designed to live forever in perfect harmony with their creator, knowing him and representing him accurately. And this is the thing. God wanted his humans to learn his definitions of what is right and good, to know his righteousness, and then to administer his definitions of what is right and good in a way that is equitable and just. Humans were supposed to be his agents, his ambassadors, joining him on his mission, spreading his goodness so that all the earth would be full of his glory. He made us to love him. And when we live in the world, we're supposed to represent that love lived out wherever we are, so that all of God's creation could enjoy being ruled over with God's definitions of what is right and good, and that they would have the privilege of having other people live out God's definitions of what is right and good toward them. That's what justice is. So God had said that humans were created to know and love him and to represent his values precisely inside of their context. He had taught them his thoughts on things, and if they lived out his thoughts on things, then they would have a good life, full of joy, full of freedom, full of the protection that comes with his ordinances and his welfare. So, one of the many reasons God is praised is because his definitions of what is right and good are born out of policies that transcend human logic. And all you have to do to really understand this is to think about a decision that you made this week and compare it with a decision on the same topic that you might have made 2 years ago. I am very rarely have the same opinion about stuff. My opinions change all the time. I'm completely unstable. But what God says is his definitions defy human logic. They transcend human logic, and they never, ever, 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 ever change, which is very cool. Psalm 89 is a really awesome chapter that teaches us that God is praiseworthy precisely because his kingdom is founded on perfect, unchanging definitions of what is right and good for all people. So this is the passage I literally teach to 100% of my counselees at some point when I counsel them. Every single person will be benefited if they function according to God's definitions of what is right and good. Psalm 89:14. It says this. I usually draw it on the whiteboard right behind me. I draw a throne, and it's sitting on a dais that has two levels. So I draw the throne, and then I write righteousness on one level and justice on the next level. And then I have two little attendants that are speaking into the ears of the king. It's very cartoon. It's not like anything special. Psalm 89:14 says this. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. The foundation of God's throne, the very foundation that his kingdom rises up out of, is righteousness and justice. And the two things that attend him and inform him are unfailing love and truth. Psalm 89 goes on to say, they, God's human subjects, rejoice all day long in his wonderful reputation. They exult in his righteousness. He is their glorious strength. It pleases him to make us strong. So the result of God's kingdom being founded on righteousness and justice is that we are made strong. So I take the time to explain this out when I draw it on the board. I say, God is literally the king of the universe. He created it. It belongs to him. It is his. He is the ruler over it all. And he sits on a throne whose foundation is righteousness and justice, and the attendants that speak into his ears are truth and loving kind faithfulness. So think about what it would be like to have a king who sat on a throne with all of the power in the world, and loving kind faithfulness was not talking into his ears when he created his standards. He could be a jerk. Like, he could be a king who just uses his power to get his subjects to do whatever he wants. So truth speaks into his ears, and love speaks into his ears, and what comes out of his mind to rule his kingdom is righteousness and justice. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 24 talks about this time when the Israelites were about to enter into the promised land, and they were being prepped for that by Moses. Moses was teaching them how to conduct themselves in the promised land because they were going to stick out like sore thumbs, basically. So in a land that was inhabited by pagan people who worshipped demons and sacrificed their children to false gods, they were characterized by every evil thing you could imagine. So Moses tells the Israelites, listen, people, if you've been trained by God's law, his definitions of what's right and good, you're going to be so different that people are going to look at you and think that you're weirdos. And not only that, they're going to want to know why, because you're going to be inherently different than everyone around you. And they're going to ask you, what has made you so great? How are you so wise and understanding? This is what Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8 says. Look, I now teach you these decrees and regulations just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Obey them completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, how wise and prudent are the people of this great nation, for what great nation has a God is near to them, as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him. And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions that I'm giving you today? So think about that when you think about the word of God. Do you think about, like, oh my word, we are so lucky? We get to have ordinances that keep us safe, that give us blessing, that make us wise, that make us fair, that make us just. Or do you say, like,